Well, before we look at this passage tonight, we'll just be a one-time sermon from Ezekiel, and then, Lord willing, next Sunday evening, in the evening, we'll be beginning a short summer series on what is called the Ordo Salutis, the Order of Salvation. And so don't be scared by the big word. We'll be starting next week with looking at external calling, the preaching of the gospel, and then going through our catechism, basically, as we see as salvation is played out logically in time. So external calling, then effectual calling, regeneration, conversion, justification, sanctification, and so forth. And it'll be a short series. I trust that it will be fruitful for us as we look at that. And then in the fall, in the evening, we will be going through the book of Philippians. So that's, Lord willing, our plan for the time being. So please keep me in prayer as I start working on some of this stuff, and would appreciate that. Ezekiel 33, we're going to be looking at the last verses 30 to 33. And let me just remind you, Ezekiel was a prophet in Babylon. He says when the exiles were in Babylon, Ezekiel was a captive in Babylon. And while he was in captivity in Babylon, God called Ezekiel to preach to those in captivity. At the same time, God had called Jeremiah to preach the same message to those who were still remaining in Jerusalem. And as we read through the book of Ezekiel, we see that the bulk of Ezekiel's ministry is he was proclaiming to the captives that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed and the temple would be sieged. And we see that happening in history around 586, 587 B.C., so that gives us a little bit of the context. Let's look now at Ezekiel 33, verses 30 to 33. I'll be reading from the New King James Version this evening. Hear the word of God. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Let's pray and ask God's blessing. Lord in heaven, this is your word, and so we pray that you would help us to understand it and help us to hear your word, but to not stop there. Lord, what would you have us apply from this portion of your word tonight to our own lives? What would you have us? What obedience are you calling us to? Make that known to us, and by your grace, may we seek to implement that obedience in our lives. Lord, may we not think along the lines of works righteousness as we look at this passage, but may we see that as the covenant people of God, we are to obey your law. Not to be saved, we cannot do that. But to express our gratitude for our salvation. And so, Lord, bless us and help us to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For students, what is the greatest day of the year? I think probably one of the greatest days of the year. For students. The last day of school, isn't it? The last day of school. But whether you're in the fifth grade, whether you're in graduate school, it doesn't matter, right? How do students anticipate that final last day of school? How do students prepare for that last day of school? Well, they write papers. They read books. They finish up all of their assignments before they're due. And, of course, the reason the students do this is because at the beginning of the class, the teacher said, okay, if you want to get credit for the class, if you want to get a passing grade for the class, all right, here's what you need to do. These are your assignments that you must do. Now, say the school year ends and you didn't do those requirements. And what's going to happen to that student? Well, the student will fail, or should fail, I guess we should say. Right. Because when that professor, when that teacher, it doesn't matter what grade you're in, gave those assignments at the beginning of the class, right? They were given so that they would be done. Of course, if the student doesn't do the work, then the student doesn't get the credit, right? It's not good enough for a student merely to just hear the teacher's instructions. It's not good enough for the student merely to just read the syllabus, is it? Right? Those instructions are given to be completed. Our passage this evening gets at something similar, right? It's not exact, but it's something similar. Not about course requirements, but about how we hear God's Word. And how we hear God's Word. Right? Why? Why has God given us His Word? Right? Why are we to read the Bible? Why are we to come and hear the preaching of the Word? Well, our text tonight tells us at least one answer, and that is so that we obey what we hear. God gives us His Word so that we then obey that same Word. Because just like a student would be deceiving himself if he thought that he did not have to do what he was told to do by his teacher. If you think that just hearing God's Word, God isn't telling you to do things, to apply His Word to your life, to obey His Word. Right? Scripture says you're only deceiving yourself. Now, we hear God's Word so that by God's grace we may do God's Word. And so, the exhortation really from our passage tonight, this is a warning passage, if you will. It's an eye-opening passage, if you will. And the point that we'll see is this. Don't deceive yourself. There's the warning. Don't deceive yourself. Hear the Word of God. Yes, you should hear the Word of God. But don't let it stop there. We must be doers of God's Word. So don't deceive yourself. Hear and obey God's Word. There should have been an outline in the back, I believe. So if you have that, please feel free to follow along with me this evening, and you will see some cross-references on the back that I'll be referring to as well. First thing we see, though, is that like many well-known preachers today, Ezekiel became popular among the people. Like many well-known preachers today, Ezekiel became popular among the people. So look with me at verse 30. This is God speaking to Ezekiel, who is the son of man. He says this, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.'" Here God is telling Ezekiel, the captives are talking about you, right, beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. In other words, they are gathering for conversation where they can be in the shade. That's what it means to be by the wall. That's what it means to be in the door of the house. Right? They're in Mesopotamia. The sun is blazing hot. And so they try to get out of the sun. They go inside. They hide in the shadow of the tall city wall. And while they're gathered there together, they might as well have some conversation. And so the text says, what's the topic of conversation? Well, it's Ezekiel. And it's what Ezekiel is preaching. So what's going on here is that when the people would be in the shade, trying to keep out of the blazing sun, their topic of conversation was Ezekiel and what he was saying. But it hadn't always been this way. It hadn't always been this way. In fact, at the very beginning of Ezekiel's ministry, God specifically told Ezekiel, the people are going to hate you. Right? They're not going to want to hear what you have to say. And yet, Ezekiel was to be faithful to the ministry God had given to him, no matter what. So why the change? Right? At the beginning, God says, they're not going to want to hear you. They're not going to like you. And now today, he's the talk of the town. And they're talking about him, and they want to hear them. Well, the change is because what Ezekiel had been prophesying for 7 years finally took place. It finally happened. And so look back up with me at verse 21. We didn't read this earlier. Remember, Ezekiel's ministry can be summarized as he was saying, Jerusalem will be destroyed because they have forsaken the Lord. And the temple will be destroyed as well because it's full of abominations. Right? They are not worshiping God. And so, this is what Ezekiel's been saying for 7 years. And now verse 21. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, that one who had escaped from Jerusalem came to me and said, the city has been captured. The city has been captured. It's happened. Ezekiel, what you said for all these years, it's taken place. And so now, right, the people had heard what Ezekiel was saying for these 7 years. Now news has reached them. It took place. And so suddenly Ezekiel, he's popular. Wow, what this guy says will happen, it actually happens. We do the same thing in our culture as well. Right? Whether it's a movie star, whether it's our favorite preacher or favorite author, we like to talk about those who are popular. And that's exactly what was going on in Babylon. They were talking about the popular preacher Ezekiel. Well, secondly, then, we see that due to Ezekiel's popularity, the people came to hear him proclaim the word of the Lord. And so look then at verses 30 again, but then verse 31. So God says to Ezekiel, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people and they hear your words. And we'll stop there. Right, so in the conversations taking place among the captives, the people are not just chatting about Ezekiel. They're also telling others, let's go. Come with me. Let's go hear what Ezekiel's going to say tonight. And so they would come to sit before Ezekiel. And they would gather as God's people should gather to hear the preaching of the word of the Lord. And again, to some extent or another, we do this same thing. Maybe it's popular preachers. Maybe it's favorite authors. I don't know. You like to read John Piper or R.C. Sproul. You like to listen to Rich Holderman. It doesn't matter who it is, right? We all have these people in our minds. Our popular preachers, our popular Christians, if you will. And so what do? Right? If they're speaking at a church nearby, we'll go. We'll advertise it. New book comes out, we'll read it. We'll recommend it to others. Right? If they write on a blog, we'll take the time to read the blog. We'll listen to them on sermon audio. We'll do whatever it takes, right? We want to hear that person's teaching. And so we'll go where we can hear that person's teaching. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Certainly not. There's nothing wrong with this in and of itself. In fact, this is what we should be doing, right? We should be seeking out solid teaching on the Word of God. But as we see in our passage, it is possible for you and for me to come to hear the preaching of the Word of God for the wrong reasons. It is possible for you to be here tonight having thought the wrong reasons. This is exactly what the captives did. Sadly, the captives viewed the herald of God's Word to be just a performer. And in turn, they were not changed by the message. And you and I can be tempted to do the exact same thing. So this is our third point. Look with me at verse 32. Again, this is still God speaking to Ezekiel. He says, indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. Do you see what God is saying to Ezekiel here? Ezekiel, they're treating you like a performer. They're treating you like a good singer, a good musician, like they would attend a concert. Many of you know I was a bass player in a former life. And I can tell you with all honesty, having been a musician, that when I played in those orchestras, I was not trying to change people's lives. Right? I was there because it was fun. But I was there to entertain people. That's why I did this. If you've ever been to a concert before, then you know that why do you even go to the concert in the first place? You go because you want to experience the talents of the person up close and personal. You want to be entertained by those songs that you like to listen to on CD. And so you go so that you could see it in person and enjoy the performance. And this is how the exiles were treating Ezekiel. In essence, they were going to a concert and talking on their way, saying, I wonder what he'll say tonight. Right? Will it also come true? This is the attitude. But what was the effect then of this attitude? What was the effect of this attitude towards God's word? And this is what we see in verse 31. Some sobering words. God tells Ezekiel, so they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people and they hear your words. Right? So far, so good. But they do not do them. For with their mouth, they show much love. But with their hearts, pursue their own gain. People weren't changed by the word. They heard the word, but their hearts were not changed at all by what they heard. Now, we all realize, and we can joke about how music performances will not change your life. But the preaching of God's word should change your life. When we hear the word of God, we should be changed by God's Spirit working in our hearts. And yet the exiles we see here were really just a bunch of hypocrites. They gathered to hear the word. They talked the talk, if you will, but they didn't walk the walk. Their lives did not manifest obedience to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, this is the warning that we can do this exact thing. So why is it that you come to hear the preaching of God's word? Why is it that you read John Piper or listen to R.C. Sproul or whoever it might be? Right? What attracts you to it? What do you hope to get out of it? Is it growth in grace? Is it sanctification? Is it to know the Lord more and to obey the Lord more and to love the Lord more? Or is it a boost in your self-esteem as you come and critique the preacher? It can be easy to view the preacher as the performer. You listen to them because you like their style, or you don't like their style. Right? It can go either way. If you want to be sanctified by the word of God, as all Christians should, then don't focus on the man. Don't focus on the talent. Don't focus on the lack of talent, but focus on the word that is coming forth to you. That's where our focus is to be, not on the person who just happens to be speaking behind the pulpit on any given day. We are to focus on what the word says and the obedience that God calls us to. Right? This is how the exiles should have viewed Ezekiel in his preaching. But instead, they were entertained by a mere man. And so instead we see that you must hear the word of the Lord so that you can obey the word of the Lord. Let's look at verses 31 and 32 again. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. We've already said this. The exiles were only hearers of the word and not doers. And that is what the problem was. It wasn't that they came to Ezekiel. It was that they did not obey what they heard. And so this is how God characterized the Ezekiels, right? Who were in the covenant community, the people of God. That they were people whose lives, who were not whose lives were not known for obedience to the Lord. I said people of God earlier. I meant professing people of God. Let me make that clarification. It's not good enough to be just a hearer. Right? Earlier we talked about the importance of students not just reading the syllabus, not just hearing the teacher's instructions. They're to do the course assignments. Because when it's time for the assignments to be due, when it's time for the grade to be administered, the work must be done. You must obey the instructions. One time when Jesus was teaching, I've given you this verse on the back of your outline, by the way, but one time when Jesus was teaching, a woman in the crowd spoke out and said this, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." Now, certainly this woman was right. Mary was a blessed woman to have raised Jesus for those few years. How did Jesus respond to that comment? Right? Did he say, "Lady, you're right. Mary was a blessed woman"? Not at all. Instead, what he said is, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's what Jesus is after. He doesn't want you to just hear the word. He wants you to hear it so that you obey it. Now, the exiles were people characterized by not putting into practice the word of God that they heard. And so what about you? And what about me? How are we characterized? As ones who apply the word of God to our lives, or as ones who hear the word and then walk away unchanged, unthinking of what we even heard in the first place? This is what God wants us to be thinking about. Now, we all know and expect, and rightly so, for the preacher to be disciplined, right? You expect if I'm going to come up here and preach the word, that I've put forth many hours of hard work in this past week. But what we often forget is that we as a congregation, and myself included, that we also are to be hardworking and disciplined in how we hear the word of God. So what are the practices that we have, whether it's note-taking or whatever it might be, that force us to think about in the week to come, what did we even hear on Sunday? What did we even read in our Bibles each morning or evening? What are we doing that forces us to think about, how can I apply this truth to my life? What obedience does God want me to do here? We need to be disciplined. Just as I need to be disciplined in how I preach, we all need to be disciplined in how we hear. So, brothers and sisters, this is a sobering passage. It's a warning from the Lord that we need to take seriously, because this is our final point. If you are only a hearer of the word, you are deceiving yourself. If you are only a hearer, you are deceiving yourself. Right, verse 33. "And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them." Right? When news had finally reached the exiles in Babylon that Jerusalem had been captured, Ezekiel was vindicated as a true prophet. They now knew that what he had been saying did come true. And yet, in verse 33, God says that Ezekiel will be vindicated as a prophet again in the future. Right? That the fall of Jerusalem was only the beginning of the fulfillment of Ezekiel's many prophecies. Right? That he is a true prophet, and there will be a time when the exiles will know and believe that Ezekiel had always been truly proclaiming the word of God. Right now, it seems they didn't believe that. They didn't believe that the message coming out of Ezekiel's mouth had anything to do with them. But the passage ends by saying, essentially, they might be impressed with your words now, Ezekiel, but there will be a day when they will know I truly have been hearing the word of God. And why did I not listen? Why did I not listen? Back in the book of in the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel that the exiles in Babylon will return to Jerusalem. Right. They will come back to the city. But, there's a caveat, right? Only those who are truly repentant for the sins of Israel. And in our text, in Ezekiel 33, this restoration had not yet taken place. The exiles are still in Babylon. They have not gone back to Jerusalem. But they will. And when it does, and it surely will, there will undoubtedly be many people who will wish they had obeyed the word coming out of Ezekiel's mouth for all those years. Because when God begins to bring the exiles back to Jerusalem, those who have not obeyed the command of the Lord to repent will perish. And it will be too late for them. And so God in our passage brings this problem to Ezekiel's attention, that those who claim to be God's people must be doers of His word. And we see this in James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Right? God says if you only hear the word but you never seek to put it into practice, you're only kidding yourself. Because that's not what God's people do. Furthermore, listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 7. And I've given you these verses. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? That those who hear and obey the word, those are the ones who are firmly resting on the rock. And the rock is Jesus. Right? It's those who hear and obey. Right? That's the evidence of those who are truly God's people, who are truly resting on Christ. Now, this is not to say at all, right, that you must be a hearer and a doer so that you're saved. Right? That is not the point of the text at all. Nor is it saying that you must be a hearer and a perfect doer to be saved. That is not the point either. The point is that your obedience to Christ, your being a doer of the Word of God, even though imperfect, that obedience, that striving for obedience, that is evidence of your resting upon the rock for salvation. Because only those who are resting in the hand of Christ, only those are the ones who both hear and do the Word of God. Your striving for obedience is evidence of your union with Him. And so you're grateful for what He's done, and so you hear the Word to do the Word. So the great question is, are you a doer? When we hear the Word, do we want to put it into practice? We will fail all the time, and our obedience will never be perfect. But do we even want to do it? That's where it starts. A little bit ago, my family and I were having dinner one night. But for my son, this was not a dinner that he particularly enjoyed. And so we would get his fork, put a bite of food on the fork, and say, "Okay, Micah, here's your bite. You need to eat it, and you need to swallow." And so he took the fork, put the food in his mouth, took the bite, he chewed. What happened? Out comes the food. "Micah, I told you, this is what we're having for dinner in the family tonight. You need to eat what is on your fork, whether you like it or not. Do you understand?" "Yes." "Okay." "Yes, he understands." Okay, we get another bite ready. And we give him the bite. He's ready to eat. But what happens? Out comes the food one more time. You see, until he actually swallowed that bite, I was not satisfied. It didn't matter that he heard me say he must eat the bite. It didn't even matter that he said, yes, I understand, and yes, I will eat the bite. Because until he actually swallowed that piece of food, it wasn't good enough. Because when it came down to it, he did not obey the word he was hearing. And that's what God is saying in our passage. Now, I don't share this to embarrass my son. He's not even in the room now, but I don't share this to embarrass my son. You and I do this very same thing with the word of God. And maybe your life tonight is characterized by not putting into practice what you hear. And if that's you, then you need to come to Christ. But I trust and I hope that that's not you tonight. But that you're like me. You come and you hear the word and you want to hear the word, but you're lazy, in all honesty. And you don't put into practice all that God calls you to do. And yet, this is what God calls you to do. Yes, to come. Yes, to hear. But don't treat the person behind the pulpit as a performer. Right? Come to hear so that you can be changed by putting into practice what God wants you to do. That is what He wants you to do. Don't deceive yourself. Hear the word and obey the word. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this portion of your word. We know that it is sobering. It's a warning to us. And yet we thank you that you have put warnings like this all throughout your word that get us thinking and stop us in our tracks for a second so that we examine ourselves. Are we hearing your word? What are the motivations we have for hearing your word? And so I pray for us, Lord, that you would help us to know that. That, Lord, we would not be mere hearers, but that by your grace and out of gratitude for Christ, we would seek to put into practice all the obedience you call us to do. So forgive us for our failings. Empower us for the week ahead, that we would be doers and hearers of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.